You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we are back here. It is a Monday edition, kicking off yet another week of Baltimore Ravens talk. Is we're kind of getting closer and closer and closer to the 2021 season, but even the stuff before that, right? We're talking training camp, we're talking preseason. It's just kind of that down period right now where the mini camps are done and the OTAs are done. So we're just kind of waiting on any Ravens news at all. And it seems like we're getting, you know, kind of to a bit of rumors that are, I don't think, very true. For example, I know an account tweeted out that the Baltimore Ravens are expecting to sign Todd Gurley this week. And look, who knows? Maybe it could be true, but I don't know right now. I know that Spencer Schultz, a friend of the show, did say it was false. So I'm going to go with Spencer. But again, you know, these things kind of trickle out and some are right, some are not. So people are just trying to grab onto anything right now. But here on Locked On Ravens, we do give you Ravens content 5 days a week, even when there isn't necessarily breaking Ravens news to talk about. So today, this Monday episode, we are going to continue our positional preview for the 2021 season. We talked about all the offensive positions. We talked about the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and then the offensive line, both the interior guys as well as the exterior guys, the tackles. So we're now entering the defensive portion. We're going to talk today about the interior defensive linemen in the first segment, and then we're going to get into the outside linebackers in the second segment and round out this show with the inside linebackers in the final segment. And then next week will be our final 2021 positional preview before we get into another Monday series. But in that episode, it will be the cornerbacks, the safeties, and special teams. So we're going to dive right in here again. First segment, interior defensive linemen. Second segment, outside linebackers. Third segment, inside linebackers. But before we do that, be sure to follow us anywhere there is a podcast. That could be Apple Podcasts, it could be Google Podcasts, Spotify as well. If really anywhere there's a podcast, we are there Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34, which is now verified. I now have a verified Twitter account. And look, I tweeted out that I was verified and I got so much support for it, and I can't tell everyone how much it meant to me to see all the support that I've gotten. I've had a blast covering this team. I've had a blast hosting this podcast, writing about the Ravens, really devoting a lot of my time to the Ravens, covering them in multiple different aspects, multiple different platforms. And it's worth it to see all the support that I get, and every single kind word, every single kind comment truly does mean the world to me, and I'm excited to continue to provide that Ravens coverage. So with all that being said, we are going to jump right in here, starting off with the defensive line, the interior defensive line for this Baltimore Ravens team, which is getting on the older side. I know the big three, the Monstars, as people call them, Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, and Brandon Williams, all over the age of 30. They were all over the age of 30 last year, too. So it's just another year added on. But there's no debate that those three guys are the key pieces and still have, I think, a lot left in the tank. Now, is that a lot for 1 year? Is it a lot for 2 years, for three? I'm not really sure. It kind of seems like Calais Campbell might be contemplating retirement. Brandon Williams could be thinking the same thing. Who knows? But for right now, I think those three players can still play at an extremely high level. And the Ravens throughout the whole season last year had injury issues. They had some COVID-related things as well. So we didn't really get to see a lot from Calais Campbell. He got injured in that Indianapolis Colts game. He was brought in to provide a run-stuffing presence. He's one of the best run-stuffing interior guys in the NFL, but also provide some interior pass rush. And it just seemed like he wasn't really himself after his injury. He had that 3-sack game against the Philadelphia Eagles, which was really impressive. But I think between COVID and between his injury, he just was not 100% for the majority of the 2020 season, which I think hurt his statistics and overall impact. But he still was a pretty big impact player when he was on the field. And then getting into Derek Wolfe, the other guy the Ravens brought in, The Ravens rewarded Wolf with a big deal in the 2021 offseason, but in the 2020 offseason, it was a one-year deal after the Ravens and Michael Brockers kind of had that deal fall through between them, and Wolf was one of the best run defenders in the NFL last season. He also provided a bit of interior pass rush, but not particularly. He only ended up having one sack, which, you know, it's fine, but I do think Baltimore from their interior defensive line will need a bit more production in that area. Wolf was someone who was a steady constant. He played in 14 games in 2020, whereas, you know, you see guys like Calais Campbell who only played in 12, and you see Justin Madubuika who only played in 10. We'll get into him in a second. Brandon Williams played in 13. So Derek Wolf was someone who was sometimes tasked to man the defensive line without Campbell and without Williams, and he did a very good job at it. And then getting into Mr. Big Baby Brandon Williams, I mean, he has been the heart and soul of the Ravens defensive line for years and years and years now, and that has not changed. It seems to be a pretty big shift. There seems to be a big shift when Calais Campbell and Derek Wolf and Brandon Williams aren't out there, any one of the three, but it seemed like with Williams in particular, and this goes back plenty of years, you could visibly see a shift in the Ravens' run defense. Williams has been a constant there, and the Ravens were a phenomenal run-stuffing team, and they have been for a little bit. They had some issues at parts during the 2019 season and a couple of other years as well, but we've seen over the last couple of years, they've been pretty good in that area. Not perfect, but pretty good, and Williams is a very big part of that. He's someone who, with him and Michael Pierce playing a lot of the same position, the Ravens pretty much moved Brandon Williams over to defensive tackle while Michael Pierce played nose tackle. With Michael Pierce gone, Brandon Williams was able to move back to nose tackle, where I thought he played a lot better in 2020. So we'll see what ends up happening with those three, but Justin Madubuika, I think, is the guy I want to focus in on here. He's someone who is my breakout player across the entire roster for the Ravens, and that has a bit to do with Madubuika in general. Like, I think he is a phenomenal player. He has plenty of interior pass rush traits and moves to get to the quarterback. He is a good run stuffer. You can chase down screens. Is actually, he reminds me a little bit, funny enough, of Haloti Ngata. Now, they're not the exact same player, but in terms of, you would see Ngata sprinting 50 yards down the field to tackle a guy, and he would sometimes catch him. You wouldn't expect that out of Ngata. But with Madubuika, I kind of sense the same thing. But I think the big thing for Madubuika this year is how much are the Ravens going to scale back the snaps of Campbell, Wolf, and Williams? I think that it's going to be even more than they did in 2020 when they were healthy because they are a year older. And I think they're ready for Madubuika to take that next step and prove he is a part of their future. So, you know, 10 games for Madubuika in 2020, 19 total tackles and a sack. Those aren't eye-popping stats. It's not like everybody's going to look at that and say, oh my God, he's the next great Hall of Famer. But it was a start. He showed flashes. He showed getting pressure on the quarterback. He showed that effort, that motor, that high-energy play. And moving on to this year, I think he's in store for a big year. Because what is going to probably happen is I would not be shocked at all if the Ravens say, all right, we're going to probably not play Calais Campbell as much. We're not going to play Derek Wolf, Brandon Williams as much. And what that means is opportunities for guys like Justin Madubuika, where you're seeing him in on more first down situations, more pure pass rushing situations, where if the Ravens need some interior pressure, maybe it's Campbell and Madubuika on the field instead of Campbell and Wolf or Campbell and Williams, or maybe on first down plays or even second down plays, it's Williams and Madubuika. I know, you know, sometimes these guys have to switch around and move around the defensive line, but that's the versatility of it all. And I think the Ravens defensive linemen, everybody I've talked about, and more guys like Broderick Washington as well, they can move around the line. It's not necessarily the best thing for them. You know, they probably have a couple positions here where they're definitely more comfortable, but they can move around the defensive line. So I think Justin Madubuika is in for a big year. I also think, you know, it's going to have to be a big year for guys like Broderick Washington, who I think his legal situation is all sorted out and he's back in the competition with the Ravens. Justin Ellis as well. I was someone who wasn't as impressed as others with Justin Ellis last season. He had some moments and he's very loved in the locker room. He's definitely a locker room guy and someone who I think can make an impact, but Justin Ellis is a very situational guy. You play him in obvious run situations, he takes up multiple blockers, and he's good at that role. But it seems like in most passing situations, Ellis just kind of, he doesn't move the pocket is what I'm trying to say, and that can sometimes hurt the Ravens, especially when it's already somewhat a struggle, or it was a struggle for them, to generate pressure not rushing 4, not rushing 5. It was they had to blitz, they had to do all this. And so Ellis being out there sometimes can be a hindrance, but he is good in a certain role. So, you know, if Ellis struggles in the preseason and an undrafted rookie does better, I could see Ellis as potentially a cut day candidate. But if Ellis performs well, I mean, I would not be shocked if he makes this roster whatsoever. So Baltimore has the depth on the defensive line. I think it's going to be a good year for them, but it's going to be interesting to see because I think the snaps are going to get scaled back for those veterans. But just how much are they going to scale them back and how much do they trust those young guys? I think, you know, they're probably prepping for an end-of-year push. Again, five of their last seven games are against division rivals. And also, within those seven games, the two that aren't against division opponents are the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. So they're going to need their veterans for the end of the year. So Matt Ibuka, I think, is going to get some early run to prove himself, and I think he'll do a good job. But the Ravens' interior defensive line, they didn't address it in the offseason and free agency. They didn't address it in the draft except for some undrafted free agents. So they trust their guys, and I'm excited to see how it all plays out for them. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be getting into the outside linebackers and get into a positional preview for them in the 2021 season, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the interior defensive line of Baltimore for their 2021 seasonal preview. But now we're going to get into the outside linebackers. Arguably what I think is one of the more controversial positions on this Ravens roster for multiple reasons. I mean, in 2020 and even in past years, I think part of the reason that the Ravens haven't been as successful at bringing the quarterback down as many think is because they just haven't been able to figure out ways to generate pressure without blitzing five guys, six guys, seven guys. And that sometimes leads to issues. Now, it's not about, I don't think, the talent that they have. It could be something with the scheme. I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, there's a give and take here. Is it the players? Is it the scheme? We're going to find out, I think, in 2021. Because if the Ravens still can't generate pressure, I think something has to happen. And honestly, I think it's going to happen before the end of the season. Something's going to have to give. But the big storyline for the Ravens outside linebacker group, the edge rushers, is the fact that the Ravens lost three of them during the 2021 offseason: Matthew Judon, Yannick Ngakoue, and Jihad Ward. And that's a lot of their sack production. Now, Baltimore didn't have a lot of sacks in 2020, and that sometimes was an issue. But at the same time, I think that they also got a decent amount of pressure on quarterbacks. The Ravens finished with 39 sacks in 2020, but their leading sack guy, their leading sack artist in Matthew Judon, is now with the New England Patriots. He had six. Yannick Ngakoue, he had three, tied for third on the team. And Jihad Ward, who I think didn't get a fair shake with the Ravens in 2020. The Ravens, it was interesting. It was the playing time, I guess, decision between him and Jalen Ferguson. Sometimes it was Ferguson who was active. Sometimes it was Ward. And Ward, I don't think, was very happy with it. He ended up being tied for third as well with three sacks. Calais Campbell was second with four. But that's a lot of sack production lost. I mean, you look at it, 12 sacks out of 39 is now gone. What does this mean for the Ravens? Well, it means that they're going to have some young guys step up, as Calais Campbell said in a press conference. And so I think it's really important for the Ravens to trust their young guys, but also consider all the options that are available. Because right now the Ravens, again, I mentioned it, lost a lot of sack production. And how are they replacing it? It's with guys like Ty Spouser, it's with guys like Jalen Ferguson, and guys like Adafe Owe. Now, I am confident in all three of those players, and also the other guys like Pernell McPhee, who's returning. Dalen Hayes could have a role, but I'd expect him to be more of a weekly inactive. We'll see. I mean, really, I would expect the Ravens to have five edge rushers active every week. The Ravens had six on their roster ending the 2020 year because of the trade for Ngakoue, and that was where the playing time and the active versus inactive, I guess, debates came in between Ward and Ferguson, because it just didn't make sense to make six guys active. So that becomes another question because, you know, I think a lot of people have been on the Justin Houston train, myself included. I'm definitely on that train. But what it would do is it would make the six thing come up again, where the Ravens would have six outside linebackers, edge rushers, who should probably make the roster and should be active, but it would maybe be a choice again, and that might not be a good thing, because it would be Bowser, it would be McPhee, it would be Ferguson, it would be Hayes, it would be Owe, and it would be Houston, or Melvin Ingram, or whoever. I still think adding a veteran is the right move. I think that with Baltimore right now, they just don't have that proven pass rusher, and for a team that already struggled to generate pressure without blitzing, that struggled to have guys win one-on-one matchups, it could be useful to have a veteran who could teach some things to Tyus Bowser, to Odafe Oweh, to Dalen Hayes, but then it becomes, who is the odd man out? And that would most likely be Jalen Ferguson, who I think can take that next step, can take the projected leap that I think Baltimore is expecting, and in some others as well, but I don't think it's a debate that he's been kind of disappointing. After breaking Terrell Suggs' FBS sack record, just hasn't really been a consistent playmaker for the Ravens in 2020. Didn't see the field as much as I think a lot of people expected him to. Didn't have the impact that I think a lot of people expected him to. Only had two sacks and only had 30 total tackles. Now, Tyus Bowser had 34 total tackles and two sacks, but Tyus Bowser does a lot of different things. He had three interceptions for the Ravens in 2020. That's really good for a guy who is primarily an edge rusher, but that's versatility. It's being able to set the edge, being able to stop the run, being able to do all these different things. The Ravens have guys who can do that. For example, Odafe Oweh, who didn't have a sack in 2020 in college at Penn State, still was able to do a lot of different things, whether it be disrupting the run game, drop back into coverage. Those are good traits to have. And I'm not saying Ferguson like can't do that or anything, or he's not good enough to do that, but a lot of people expected Ferguson to use his bull rush coming out of college effectively to stun offensive tackles. They expect him to be able to be a strong force in the outside setting up against the run. There are times where Ferguson does it really well, but there are other times where he just seems lost, or he doesn't maybe understand the assignment or something, and that causes big gains to go to the outside when he can't set that edge. What does Houston bring? He brings a pure pass rushing arsenal. He's not someone who's going to drop back into coverage. He's not someone who's going to run defend really well, but he is a situational pass rusher, whereas, you know, the other veteran on the team, if Houston were to come in, would be Pernell McPhee. McPhee is someone who excels against the run, and he still can get to the quarterback, but he can kick inside and play against the run. He beats tackles, beats inside guards. He does a lot of different things in that regard. Whereas right now, you see Tyus Bowser, who I think is going to take a leap. He's going to be asked to do a lot more pass rushing, and he, I think, is going to be good at that pass rushing. But I think right now the Ravens obviously have some type of window. It's not a window where after this year they're done. They have a lot of competitive years ahead, and they have been competitive for a long time. But it's the window before the big money contract come up. We've seen Ronnie Stanley sign his big money contract. Marlon Humphrey sign his big money contract. Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, those are the next two that are probably going to be up for the Ravens in a couple years. Marquise Brown, you know, so they have to look ahead to that. And it's going to kind of hinder the ability for the Ravens to go out and sign guys like Justin Houston or bring in a guy like Kevin Zeitler to shore up the offensive line. They're going to have to rely on draft picks, on cheap rookie deals. This is the time, if any, to bring in a veteran who might be a little more expensive, but could still provide that impact. But talking about the guys who are on the roster, I know I've kind of done it, but the big three, in my opinion here, who are going to have to step up, or a move like Houston or Melvin Ingram or even like Olivier Vernon could be made, or Bowser, Ferguson, Oweh. And I think what they can do for this team is provide the Ravens with a little bit of pass rush. And I mean, they're going to have to do more than just a little bit, because they're going to be replacing proven sack artists like Ngakoue, like Judon, and even Ward to an extent. Now, you know, where I see Ferguson, and I know he's probably the most controversial player out of all of them right now, because I don't think he has the believer fan base that someone like Bowser has. But Tyus Bowser in his first two seasons really didn't light the world on fire whatsoever. And him and Tim Williams, they were back-to-back picks for the Ravens, two edge rushers. Tim Williams, the former Ravens rusher out of Alabama. You know, Bowser kind of took that leap in his third season in 2019. Williams did the opposite. Williams got cut and Bowser stayed. And now Bowser is awarded with a new four-year deal. we could see the same thing happen with Ferguson. If Ferguson does not live up to expectations and he just can't do what the Ravens are asking him to do, he's struggling. I feel like the Ravens, if Justin Houston is not signed and he's still interested in playing, they could cut their losses like they did with Tim Williams, with Jalen Ferguson. It was Tim Williams' third year when he got cut. It is now Jalen Ferguson's third year. It's a big year. It's a big year for Miles Boykin as well, who has struggled a bit during his first 2 years in the NFL. So we're going to see what ends up happening for the Ravens at the edge rusher position. It's the big five right now are Bowser, Ferguson, McPhee, Owe, and Hayes. I mean, if Hayes is a guy who's not stashed on IR, I think he's more of a game day inactive, in my opinion, and that's fine. You know, he's more of a developmental piece anyway, but I think he could still provide an impact if called upon, although he's definitely, again, more of that developmental piece. So the Ravens could definitely make a move for an edge rusher at the deadline. They could make a move to sign somebody if it doesn't really work out. And we see that 2019 pivot where the Ravens signed Josh Bynes and LJ Fort, and they trade for Marcus Peters, and that shores up their defense. If the Ravens get off to a slow start pass rushing and they can get pressure but can't really bring the quarterback down, they still have to blitz to get pressure, we could see some changes early because Eric DaCosta is not one to wait around. So I believe in this group. I believe in the young guys on the roster, but that doesn't mean I don't think Justin Houston can be a good fit, because I think he can be. So I am still on board the Justin Houston train, but the Ravens, each day they don't sign a guy like Houston or Melvin Ingram, it seems more and more clear to me that they're going to probably go with what they have on the roster, and that's fine. But I do think they have to really keep an eye on that position, because if things aren't working out and it's not the amount of production they were expecting, I think they should act fast and get somebody in who can get that production to really round out the defense. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we get back, we're going to be pivoting to the inside linebackers and getting into their 2021 positional preview. So stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, coconut almond, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry, almond brownie, or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see other parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we've returned here with our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. And now we're going to transition into the inside linebackers and get into their 2021 positional preview for this Ravens team. And the inside linebackers are a group where I expect a lot of growth, particularly from second-year players Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison. Queen is someone who led the Ravens in tackles in 2020 with 106. He had 3 sacks, 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. I mean, he was all over the field and all around the football. Seemed like turnovers were just right around Queen all the time. But with that, you know, he had a pretty good statistical season. But with that did come, I think, an up and down year. Because I think, as J.K. Dobbins talked about, and also as Queen talked about himself, it was kind of tough coming in as a rookie in pretty much what was an offseason impacted by the coronavirus, where a lot of stuff was virtual. Guys weren't coming into the building to be with coaches, to meet their teammates, to get chemistry with their teammates. And that's a big thing for rookies. And Queen said, you know, he had to work his way into game shape. It took him, I believe he said, around 5 weeks to really get into full game shape. And I know a lot of people look to that week 3 game against Kansas City, where Queen and Harrison were actually both benched in that game because they just could not keep up with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and so many others on that Chiefs offense. But I do think Queen kind of got a bit more familiar with the NFL game as the season went on. And I think we saw some more stable play. It wasn't all perfect. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, but I was encouraged with what I saw from Patrick Queen. And I think Queen himself knows, you know, he had a good year, but also I think he understands that there is some stuff that he needs to improve on, and just being able to get into the groove of doing things a bit more consistently. And that comes with, I think, a sophomore year. Now, there are sophomore slumps in the NFL. There is no doubt about it. But Queen is someone who strikes me as a guy who has all the tools to do it, right? He noticed everything that he did, and he said this in a press conference he did earlier with the Ravens media. He said there are so many little things he did wrong that, you know, he just wants to go back and correct and everything. And now that he knows, now that he's seen it, he's ready to come in and work, and he's been working hard in order to get ready for this 2021 season. So he's going to have a big role in this Ravens defense. He is definitely the Ravens' number one inside linebacker, and I think it will stay that way for a while. But the key positional battle, I think, is for the number two inside linebacker job. But really, it's not necessarily as much of a battle as some people think it is. I just think LJ Fort and Malik Harrison are going to be in rotation, and sometimes they'll play at the same time, and it will be Queen who's not on the field, or they'll run three inside linebacker sets. The Ravens can do a lot with their defense, so I would expect to see a lot of unique packages with the inside linebackers lined up all over the field. But for Fort, he was a consistent playmaker, was a very, very good linebacker for the team in 2020, finished the year with 53 total tackles, had 4.5 tackles for loss, all over the field in the run game, also did a bit in the pass coverage game as well, but he was that veteran leader for that unit for guys like Queen and guys like Harrison, and that was big to have that veteran leader in there. I know a lot of people last offseason were calling for a bit more of an experienced guy, someone who might have been a bit better, but Fort was good in 2020, and now returning in 2021, I expect another big year from him. But Malik Harrison is going to be a guy who might take away some of Fort's snaps. He was someone who didn't play a ton in 2020, but still had a bit of success. He was in pass coverage a little bit. He played well against the run, stifled Derrick Henry on one play. So, again, the potential is there for guys like Malik Harrison. And you look at Chris Board, who got a lot of opportunity in 2020. You look to guys maybe like Otaro Alaka and Christian Welch, who I think also might be in line for some good years on special teams, but also, I mean, they could be in line for some defensive snaps as well if there are injuries or whatnot, which I hope there aren't. But Harrison, 44 total tackles for him, 2 tackles for loss, 1 pass is defended. So he's someone who is a thumper. He's someone who is good in pass coverage. And him and Queen next to each other, I think that was the duo the Ravens were looking for a couple years ago with Patrick Owosso and Kenny Young. And it's funny enough, before Patrick Queen switched to number 6, him and Queen were the same numbers as Owosso and Young. But regardless, the two between Queen and Harrison do complement each other a lot. I think their games translate very well over. I just think, again, it was a year of not having as much experience in person with coaches, not getting coached up. It was more of that virtual offseason stuff. Do things on your own, get ready for the NFL season. But for them, it was, we don't really know how to do this. We need some guidance, and they couldn't get that in-person guidance. So I do expect a lot from the Ravens inside linebacker group in 2021, but most of that is the growth of the young players. Patrick Queen is going to have to live up to that expectation that he has with being a first-round pick. Malik Harrison was a third-round pick, so he was still a decently high draft selection. Those two come from big schools, LSU and OSU. They're going to have to perform at a high level, and they're going to be some of the leaders of that defense. I mean, they're going to have to be. They're not the oldest guys. I mean, guys like Calais Campbell and Pernell McPhee and other guys are the true, you know, leaders of that defense. Chuck Clark in there as well. But I think this is a year where Patrick Queen becomes a bit more vocal. I think this is a year where Malik Harrison really comes into his own. And LJ Fort is a nice complimentary piece who can do a bit of it all. So the big three there in Queen, Harrison, Fort, I think are going to do great. And then I mentioned Chris Board, someone who can play safety. He can play in the linebacker spot. He can play some dime. He can do this. He's a guy who the Ravens can utilize in all different roles all over the field, something I think they're going to do a lot. They re-signed him, and I think they expect big things. And then Alaka and Welch, as I mentioned, I think it's probably a battle between the two of them, and I think Alaka wins it. Alaka impressed me during the 2020 season on special teams, was all over the field making big tackles. Unfortunately, suffered that injury, but I think he's going to come back and he's going to perform well and win a roster spot. So at the end of the day, the Ravens have very, very talented players at the inside linebacker position. It's just a matter of how they can grow, and I think they're going to grow a lot in 2021. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us here on Locked On Ravens, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.